want to serve you as the priestess starting very soon. It is now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please get your pens and papers out to take notes. And I'll turn over to the first speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the women's presentation. The theme for today is Let's Get Ready for Pentecost. Though only one day, we could reap seven times the benefits. Now I'll turn it over to our first speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Please be seated.
My title today is 6 days to the Great Feast of Pentecost. Where would you be? It's among number 44. The Great Feast of Pentecost is only 6 days away. Do you plan on being here? Positive law number 161, Leviticus 23, verse 15 through 16, tells us to count 50 days after the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, count of the Omer to the Feast of Weeks. Positive law number 162, Leviticus 23, verse 21, tells us the Feast of Pentecost is a Sabbath of rest and a holy convocation. But it's only one day. Do I have to travel all those miles for just one day? Yes. Third Book of Israel, chapter 8, verse 106. I know that you have thought before, well, that Pentecost is just one day. This is where we fall into a trap. One thinks it's just one day. Why should I walk 400 miles to get to that place and back the next day? Come, let us keep a feast to Yahweh at the house of Yahweh, which is the only place that our blessings come from. Now I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You please be seated. The title of my speech is Yahweh's 13 Attributes of Love for Getting Ready for the Feast of Pentecost. Some ways I could get ready for Pentecost is to try to be like Yahweh by putting on his 13 attributes. Is there any way you would like to try to be like Yahweh? Can I please get my slide? Here I have the 13 attributes. The first one is Almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding, possessing righteousness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving, punishing sin, Heavenly Father, making the covenant with His, doing marvelous, awesome, and zealous. In Exodus, please turn to Exodus 33, verse 19. Exodus 33, verse 19. And it says, And Yahweh said, I will make all my righteousness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Please turn to Exodus 34, verse 6. And it says, Yahweh passed in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh. Almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering and abounding in righteousness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means leaving unpunished those who are guilty, who visits the sin of fathers upon the children to the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. So you see, Yahweh has lots of attributes. Please turn to Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. And it says, "Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come and were in one accord, united in one place." And skip down to verse 4, and it says, "When they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit had gave them to speak out." That means that if Pastor went on the stage and he was saying something, he can explain it so well that anybody could understand. It's Pentecost is almost here, so I would like us to be ready by trying to be like Yahweh, putting on his 13 attributes, and with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us here today, with all those who are joining us over all different forms of media, and those who are hungering and thirsting to find Yahweh, their creator, wherever they are worldwide. Also, a very warm and special welcome to our sisters, our women of New, who will be speaking on the theme, "Let's Get Ready for Pentecost." Let's get ready for Pentecost, although only one day, we can reap seven times the benefit. So Pentecost is approaching, and we know that the Feast of Pentecost stems on unity, or working together. Unity, working together, Pentecost. Now, I know that we in the Great House of Yahweh, we've been striving to work in unity, and we have been doing it for a long time now at the Great House of Yahweh, especially in our work areas. Would you say that, Great House? Now, the world is doing something, on the other hand, about working together or working alone. Can we see the slide, please? Google expects its staff to work from home until 2021. And it's not alone. Up until 2021, they want their workers to work at home. But Greta, would you say we have been working at home already at the Hakahana Card program? At home, that's home for us. So we've been learning the skills to work at home. And we found our places at home already. We've been learning those skills. And do you remember the nice song, "I Found My Part in the House of Yahweh"? Who wrote that song? Who wrote that nice song? You sure? Yes. "I Found My Part in the House of Yahweh." Now, he's been there. He's done that. Now, it's us now. Can we say we have found our part in the house of Yahweh, our home? "My labor of love I freely give." Great House. The labor of love that I have seen in the Great House of Yahweh, money cannot pay it. And I'll give an example. Who made the clabber milk? Who made the clabber milk about 4 moons ago for the Hakahan Kohen? Who made the yogurt for us? One of you here in the cafeteria? That day, I was going to drink my yogurt. And when I uncovered it, it was in a little jar. When I uncovered it, the jar was broken at the top. So I said, you know what they told us? When the jar is broken, when there's any glass broken, do not eat what's in it. Remember that? For whatever reason, I don't know. So I looked at my yogurt and I said, no, I cannot waste that nice yogurt. I felt the little jar to see if the fresh, the cut or the brick or whatever was fresh. I said, I looked at the thing, I smelt it. I said, no, Father, I'm going to have to eat it. So I spread my salt, my sugar, and I ate the yogurt. It was made from the Hakahana Card family cafeteria. I wasn't going to waste it. And And let me tell you, it was so wonderful. So nothing can pay for the labor of love that we are doing in Yahweh's great house. Do you understand great house of Yahweh? When you think no one is seeing or aware of what is going on, let us continue to work in labor of love in all those areas, and only Yahweh can reward us for that, okay? Praise Yahweh. And with that, I turn over to the first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Picture someone you've known their whole life. You watch them grow up, take their first step, and speak their first words. As they got older, they told you their insecurities, the anxieties, and the worries that life put upon them. You listened while they mentioned to you their hopes and dreams that they wanted to accomplish in life. And you were willing to help them reach those goals. Though going through life, they stumbled and fell, and at times they felt hopeless, you were there encouraging them, helping them quickly rise back up and to keep pursuing those hopes they had from the beginning. You made it known to them that if life got too hard, you were there for them. And when the load got too heavy, you'd give them your shoulder to lean on. Seeing their progress brought joy to your eyes. You could see them improving day by day. They were so close to the goal they've been working their whole life to achieve. Until one day they came to you and said, "It's too hard. I can't take it anymore. Today is the day I give up." Now imagine that sharp pain that would go through your chest because you watched someone who spent their whole lives working so hard to achieve something in an instant give it all up. But think about it. How many times have we told Yahweh, "Yahweh, I give up. I can't do this anymore." Yes, Yahweh too feels that pain. Today, my title is, "Don't Let Today Be the Day You Give Up." With less than a week from Pentecost, we are going to feel a lot of pressure put upon us. We are so close to the time we've been waiting our whole lives in the house of Yahweh for. And this is when Satan is going to put all she has to cause us to finally break. Turn over to Romans 13:11, and it says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." As we are going through our lives, are we taking each day as another opportunity to overcome and be a well-mannered individual at its finest? Or is each day just another day? You know, we say it a lot. Today is just another day, and tomorrow is just another tomorrow. But really, we should look at it as today is a day that we can fix ourselves and inspect our flaws, for when that day comes, we will be ready. Satan is going to try anything and everything to tear us apart and make us miserable. She will attempt to put things in our minds to cause us to slip up. 1 Kefa 5, verse 8 through 9 says, "Be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom she will devour. Resist her by remaining firm in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are fully endured by your brothers in the world." And at times, we are going to fall down, and we will struggle, but we can't give up. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For though a just man will fall seven times, he will stand up again, but the wicked will fall only once into destruction." Though it might be a struggle to get back up, it can be hard to get out of bed in the morning. And throughout the day, you might wonder how you're going to get through. But Yahweh is always there, guiding you and keeping you, giving you that extra bit of strength that you need to keep on going. In 2 Kefa 3:9, it says, "Yahweh knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation and trials." So let's not allow the adversary to tear us apart. Don't let all the negativity bring you down. Let's focus on ourselves and make it our goal to purge out all the sin that might still be in us. 2 Kefa 3:14 says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found, spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." If we do this, we will be able to fully reap the benefits of this feast, only if we hang in there and don't let Satan drag you down. Remember, just like we don't want it told to us, neither does Yahweh want it told to him that we give up. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Shalom, you can be seated.
The Feast of Pentecost is going to be here in the next 6 days. Are you ready? My title is How to Receive the Most Blessings from the Feast of Pentecost. In order to get the most out of the Feast of Pentecost, we must prepare in advance. When we read the books of Yisro, listen to the sermons, attend Sabbath services, assist in the work, it helps to get our minds focused on Yahweh. In the third book of Yisro, chapter 8, verses 104 to 106. Colossians 2:17, which are a shadow from things to come for the body. Now speaking of the feast days, let's go back to Exodus. Exodus 31:13, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, all of his Sabbaths. I know that you have thought before, well, that Pentecost is just one day. This is where we fall into a trap. One thing is just one day. Why should I walk 400 miles to get to that place and have to start back the next day? Even though Pentecost is just one day, remember what it says in 2 Kefa 3:8. 2 Kefa 3:8, page 962. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with Yahweh, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Positive Law 162 says, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, is a Sabbath of rest and a holy convocation, or a sacred convocation. And that's found in Leviticus 23:21, which is on page 102. Leviticus 23:21. And you shall proclaim on that same day that it can be a holy convocation to you, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits. You shall do no regular work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Yahweh looks at our efforts. He sees if we're going to count the Omer every day, and if we do so, that would help to get the most out of the Feast of Pentecost. Counting the days of the Omer is part of being obedient to the instructions of Yahweh. Positive Law 161. Count 50 days from the day after the first Holy Day Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Omer count, to the Feast of Weeks. And that's found in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 to 16, on the same page of 102. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the first Holy Day Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wheat offering, 7 full weeks shall be completed. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th week, then you shall offer a new grain offering to Yahweh. Don't be afraid to change old habits. If you've never prepared for the Feast of Pentecost before, it's not too late to start. Remember, to get the most out of the Feast of Pentecost, we must prepare in advance. Pastor tells us some things we can do to prepare in the first book of Yisro, chapter 9, verse 31. You must get this certain amount and remember that you get it by studying, prayer, acts of righteousness, and determination. This is how it grows, by studying and determining to do what is said. That is, doing what Yahweh says to do and avoiding what he says not to do. In the first book of Yisro, chapter 35, verse 23, Pastor says, try to cleanse yourself before you get to the feast, or come early as the disciples did to cleanse themselves before Pentecost. Pentecost was the day that Yahweh poured out the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we desperately need. We might receive it this feast. I am hoping and praying for it. In order to get the blessings that come with the Feast of Pentecost, we must do everything we can to prepare in advance. Try to get to the sanctuary early. That way you'll be ready when services start. In your spare time, re-listen to the sermons and see if you've missed anything in your notes. And fill your mind with righteous study. Be like the 5 wise virgins in Matthew 25:4. Matthew 25:4, page 753. While the wise took oil in their jars with their lamps. Remember that oil was the golden oil, the teachings that come from Pastor Israel Hawkins and the house of Yahweh. So, are you ready for the Feast of Pentecost? Remember, be sure to study the word of Israel Hawkins and diligently count the days of the Omer, and cleanse according to the instructions of your counselors to be prepared for this wonderful feast. This can help us to become more prepared for the Feast of Pentecost. Thank you to the greatest teacher in the world, Kwan Yisro Lovell Hawkins, for allowing me the opportunity to speak today. Please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. When I found out that I had to speak today, I immediately got on Yisrael Says, because that is the best way for me to come up with something to speak about, is to go to the one sense teachings that he's already given us. And this is the thing that jumped out to me. On 6/14/1986, he's speaking about Pentecost, and he says, "Do you realize that there were 7,000 people following Yahshua? At another time, in another place, there were 5,000 people following him. There were only 120 people who received Holy Spirit here. There were only 120 people out of thousands who followed him. When did they receive the Holy Spirit? They received it on the day that many people think is the least feast of all." And when I was reading this, I immediately started thinking about a sermon that he had given about many are called and few are chosen. And so I went back to Yisrael Says, which, by the way, is the best thing ever. It's like having pastor right here. You just have him with you all the time, and you ask him a question, and he answers it right away. It's just awesome. If you haven't used it, you really got to get on Yisrael Says. It's really great. But I found the sermon very easily because I remembered some of the things he had mentioned, and it was a sermon that he gave on 2/5/2011. And he was reminding us here that many are called and few are chosen. And he said that Yahshua said 3 out of 4 will leave. And then he showed you to get your mind on the one sent. Believe into the one sent, and then you won't be leaving Yahweh's house. You'll be a part of Yahweh's kingdom forever. And then I think about the 120 people who did receive the Spirit Holy because they were in unity. They believed into the one sent. That is, like, I think that is the most thing that I am passionate about being in the house of Yahweh, because that man is sent by Yahweh. Without him, we know nothing at all. Okay, for us to come into complete unity with Yahweh, we have to believe every word that comes out of pastor's mouth. Every single thing he tells us to do, we must do. If he tells us don't do it, we must not do it. It is really, really important. Do you remember the OKI 24-hour manual? How many of us are still applying that in our homes today, raising up our children in unity with the house of Yahweh? It's really, really important. Do you remember your closet? How many of us go to our closet? Or do we lash out at people? Do we say things to other people that we shouldn't say? I really think that it might be a great idea if someone's talking to you about something they don't need to talk to you about, they're complaining, they're murmuring, we could just say, "I'm not your closet." I really think that you should go to your closet and work it out with Yahweh. I really think that that would just be a little reminder that we need to hear sometimes, because we all fall into the trap, but we're not someone's closet. Yahweh will help us through these things if we go to Yahweh and we go in prayer and we ask. Is there anyone here who questions ever what to do? What's the best way to handle this situation? No way, because pastor has everything perfect for us. We have everyone who's perfect for us available, everything available to us to help us with any situation that we may ever arise in. This is how we'll be in unity, though. We can't be in unity with each other if we're not in unity with the one sent. We can't get along with each other if we're not in unity with the one sent. We have to be in unity with him. We have to listen to the things he says. We can't let things go in one ear and go out the other. We have to study the things that he brings out. The Lying and Betrayal series is a really great series. If you haven't listened to it recently or you don't have it memorized, I think between now and Pentecost, it would be really great to listen to it. There's 5 sermons on unity that are perfectly laid out for us. I really think it's something that we should listen to. If you don't have it to listen to, it's in the 4th book of Yisro. You can read it. It's really a great series. And in this series, he says, I hate that you don't know the sweat and the tears that I've been through trying to get the people in unity, knowing the Holy Spirit will not work until we come to this unity. To see it fade away because of division hurts. I know that the love for one another is not here that we need. We will get it. I know because Yahweh has promised us that he will give us the gifts of the Spirit Holy in these last days. We are at the very, 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 very end of these last days now. There's no more time to say, I'll use my closet tomorrow. I'll teach my children what pastor wants me to teach my children next week because I don't feel like dealing with them today. We can't put things off. He has everything so easily laid out for us to guide us in our everyday life to live forever, to come into unity with each other. We just have to listen to the things that he brings out. And maybe Pentecost is only one day. And I do know that since I've been in the house of Yahweh, I've noticed that Pentecost isn't as full sometimes. But I think that we have really grown. Because I think the only time anyone doesn't come to the house of Yahweh for Pentecost are people maybe out of country who can't. Because we believe into the one sent. We have come so far and we are so close to being in complete unity with each other. And Yahweh is here. It's a holy convocation. Yahweh will be here with us. So I think that this week it would be such a great idea to listen to The Lying and Betrayal if we can, to examine ourselves more than we have ever examined ourselves before, because we're at the very, 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 very end. And we have to believe into the one sent. Believe into the one sent. Believe into the one sent. Every single thing that he says, we must do. There's really no time left. We are really at the end. If you all don't recognize that, you've really got to listen to just the last few sermons for the last few months. He's really laid it out on how close we really are. And I just want to hope that you all have a nice, blessed Sabbath, and I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Well, I want to say we are in the countdown mode for Pentecost, right? So that brings me directly to the title of my speech. The title of my speech today is Pentecost. This is the generation to receive the outpouring of the full measure. So, family of Yahweh, let us get ourselves in that ready mode and gear to go up into the upper room at Abel to keep the feast of Pentecost 2020. I want to say, I keep hearing the speakers before me said, even though it's just one day, we can all reap a total of 777 full of blessing. Now, blessings, I want to express how big these blessings can be. Pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. Yahweh in these last days has promised this generation the full measure, and as I can put it, blessing galore. Now, to keep the Feast of Pentecost is positive law number 52, found in Exodus 23, goes from 14 to 17, and the ordinance to keep this law is found in Leviticus 23, 1, 27, Deuteronomy 16, 19 through 11. So to get to the Feast of Pentecost, we have to count the Omer. We count the Omer from Passover 50 day all the way to Pentecost. It tells us it's the week, 7 weeks of weeks, which give us 49 days, and then the next day is Pentecost. So Pentecost speaks of unity, complete unity. And I truly love the way in which the overseer break that down for us. In the 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 22, verse 55, it reads, "Now when you look at all the warning here, there is something quite extreme about it." Well, Pentecost, here we got down to Pentecost. Now the day we are celebrating today now, and of course, Pentecost means unity. It means 7 times 70. It's what the Savior said. Yeshua gave you those figures. 7 times 70. Unity of the spirit and body are in your blood, which is telling on you. You got that? Your blood, which is the permanent record, a permanent account of what is taking place. So what I want you to get out of that equation, out of that quote, is the equation. Now, our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, gave us our equation, or I will put it this way, the sum total of unity and perfection. He gave us the event, he gave us the feast, and he gave us the time period for that fulfillment, 70 times 7. 7 weeks point us to Pentecost. 70 weeks point us to the time period of the end generation. So now, taken from the book Number in Scripture by E.W. Bullinger, he breaks down this number for us. 7 times 10 equals 70. 7 means fullness, perfection, completeness. 10 means ordinal perfection. 70 means perfect spiritual order. Now, he gave us 70 times 7, which 70 times 70, 7 times 70, which gave us 490 weeks. The meaning of 490 is spiritual perfection. It marks the full and final restoration, the blessing of the people and the city of Yahweh. And that will take us directly now to the scripture that tells us about the 70 week, found in Daniel 9:24. Let's go to that quickly. And that is found on 681. Daniel 9. Okay, it says 70 weeks is determined upon your people. Okay, I think I put it a little bit harder. Okay, let's see. 70 weeks are determined upon your people, upon your holy city, to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the holiest of the holy people. Side note, D in that scripture gives us the vision that was sealed, and that is to bring forth the righteous holy priesthood, and it's bring forth in only the last 3.5 years. Now, working in unity now, yes, Yeshua gives the instruction, and Israel gave us the tools and the means by which to accomplish the goal. And we can see how Israel is bringing this entire body of people to total unity. We can find that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And that is found on page 918. It says, "And he gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some preachers of the message of the kingdom, some pastors and some teacher, Israel, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the building of the house of Yahweh, which is the body of Messiah, until we all come to the same unity of the faith, of the same knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, has unto a perfect man, unto a perfect woman, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of perfection that is found in Messiah. So as we heard before, Pentecost also speaks of the outpouring of Spirit Holy, the laws of Yahweh. Putting the renewed covenant of the law in our hearts and in our minds. And that is found in Hebrews 8:10. Well, let's talk about the apostle who set us a record and a foundation. The apostles only received a small portion of the outpouring of Spirit Holy. The full measure is promised for our generation. And that is found in Acts 2, verse 1, 16 through 20. For the sake of time, I will just paraphrase to get the meat of what I want out of that scripture. And it comes to pass in the last day that Yahweh will pour out, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and the young men will dream dreams, and the old men will see vision. My spirit and my, I will pour out my spirit upon my handmaidens and my servant. In the side note D of that very scripture, verse 8, it tells us specifically in the last 3.5 years. Now, we must also see and know that in this prophesied generation of 1074, the reaping of both curses and blessing will be released in full measure. The world of sinners are getting ready to reap their harvest, and in their harvest is only woe, woe, and only woe. The reason for that is because they refuse and they reject Yahweh, their creator, so there is no protection. But there's a different blessing due for our generation. At the same time, the great house of Yahweh is getting ready to reap our full harvest. And in the harvest of Yahweh's people is only wow, wow, and only wow. Now let us look at some of these amazing blessings that bring forth these awesome wow. Pentecost. It speaks of the feast of the first fruit. 1074 means first fruit generation. We are the generation. We are the generation that will receive that first fruit. Pentecost also speaks of harvest, feast of harvest. This is the generation which will raise the dead. We will harvest the dead of the grave. And that's what I said. Wow, wow. Pentecost speaks of number counting to 50, and that speaks of the Jubilee year of release, giving back the earth back to the true heirs, the saints of Yahweh. In this generation will take place the rebirth, that is the changing and putting on incorruption, found in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Changing our bodies into from spirit and blood into body and spirit, no more blood. Whoa, that's not a whoa, that's a wow, wow, wow. We will be able to have the full use of our subconscious mind and become just like Yahweh and Yeshua. Well, that one I say is an awesome, yasome wow. Now, brothers, sisters, saints of Yahweh, family of Yahweh, it is the time where Yahweh has promised the outpouring of full measure. And this is the time when the whole body, the family of Yahweh, must find their position, seek their place in that upper room, fill the upper room, because Yahweh our Father, it is His pleasure to release the entire family of Yahweh, His spiritual blessing, so that we will both receive the blessing and we will receive an eternal position into the kingdom. And with this, let's hurry and get there. I will turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. My title this morning is, Are Your Thoughts in Your Way? I'd like to begin with a quote from the fifth book of Israel, chapter 14, verses 75 through 77, which was given on 6/13/2005 on the Feast of Pentecost. Pastor says, He says He will give you these laws and they will take away the curses. You're learning laws right here that will keep you safe throughout all eternity if you learn them. I really don't expect to receive the gifts of Spirit Holy today. I do in 1 year from now. expect to receive them 1 year from now. Do you know why? We're really not serious about this. In the next year, you're going to be serious. We're going to see things that are going to make the hair stand on top of our heads. You're going to stand in fear unless you have the faith and confidence in Yahweh that will keep you from that fear, where you'll fully know that you can trust in what he says and do what he says. I'm hoping there aren't too many who are standing in fear right now. If you are, you need to make a change soon. We're not serious yet about keeping this sanctuary clean. I know this sanctuary is defiled right now. This house is defiled. The people sitting before me right now are defiled. I hope 1 year from now we won't be. I hope we can all come together 1 year from now, that we will be totally clean and we'll have the land here in the sanctuary clean on the day of Pentecost. I fully believe that we're going to make that connection at that time. We all need to work towards that. Praise Yahweh. How many have diligently worked on that? And I'm including myself. Yahweh in his mercy has given us much longer than a year. Have we used that time wisely? This might seem like correction, but it's not. This is you and me having a little self-examination session. Pentecost is less than a week away. But not only is it Pentecost, it's the one before the great Passover that Pastor's been talking about. When you look at this world today, you can really see just how much it parallels Egypt. In the same chapter, in verse 63, Pastor says, "The doings of the land of Egypt, which brought forth these diseases. Yahweh said this to our forefathers. They saw them and dreaded these diseases. They were catching them before Moshe said, 'These laws will stop this.' Moshe then taught the laws of Yahweh and gave them copies of the law on the day of Pentecost several thousand years ago. He read the law to them on Pentecost. That's the day the law was given to the people, the scriptures show." Pastor had a blog post called Pentecost on 5:3:18. And he says, count 50. In Leviticus 23, 15 through 16 and verse 21, "And you shall count for yourselves 7 full weeks shall be completed. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th week. And you shall proclaim on that same day that everyone is to gather to sanctify the name of Yahweh, showing your loyalty to him by doing righteous works. Therefore, do the work of Yahweh. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." The number 50 has special meaning. It shows you're present at Yahweh's house. You're a family member. You belong to Yahweh, not evil as the gods. Now look at the wonderful meaning of this Feast of Weeks, a one-day event with the Heavenly Father Yahweh at the place Yahweh chooses and shows in prophecy where his house will be placed. The number 50 from Strong's is shown. It comes from two Hebrew words, number 1 and 7771. Word number 1 is father and chief. 7771 is from 7768, which means freedom from trouble, sin, hatred, war, sickness, disease, confusion, and death. Remember, Pastor wrote the number 50 has special meaning. It shows you're present at Yahweh's house. You're a family member. You belong to Yahweh, not evil as the gods. We recently saw a gematria for one of the Hebrew words for perfection, and it was 50. So 50 is tied to perfection. Let's do a little checklist of us. You do you and I'll do me. Yahweh wants us to be in unity and get serious about coming to perfection. Are we at that point? To receive gifts? To welcome in 2 billion people? To get us into the positions that Yahweh so desperately wants to put us in? Only you know if you're making the grade. A lot of times we're too easy on ourselves on some things. It's time not to worry about what other people are thinking about us. What does Yahweh think of us? This judgment is real. In the fourth book of Israel, chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, this was the 1986 Feast of Pentecost. Pastor says, "Today is the day of Pentecost. It's thought of as the least feast of all. I've even heard people say, 'Why, we don't want to travel all that distance for only one day. Let's wait until the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll save all of our money and then we'll enjoy this thing then. If we went for Pentecost, it would only be one day and we're just going to spend a lot of time on the road. There's very little to be gained by that. Some people actually think that way. Do you realize that there were 7,000 people following Yeshua? At another time in another place, there were 5,000 people following him. There were only 120 people who received Spirit Holy here. There were only 120 people out of the thousands who followed him. When did they receive Spirit Holy? They received it on the day that many people think is the least feast of all. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord. They were in this unity that we have to bring to the house of Yahweh. Then the gifts of Spirit Holy were poured out upon them, which we are all lacking at this time. We have Spirit Holy, yes, two portions of it. We have the Spirit of calling and we have the Spirit that guides and comforts. Those are what we have now, but we're still lacking the gifts that are displayed here in Acts. 7,000 people, 5,000, but only 120 were gathered at Pentecost. And those 120 were in unity. It doesn't matter how many people leave or don't trust. What matters is you and me and the choices we make. We can't let the actions of others affect our walk with Yahweh and pull us out. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Our subconscious and carnal minds have been programmed, and we have to actively choose to replace that worldly programming with Yahweh's way. But when we try to change that programming, it resists. It tries to keep us where we're comfortable, and overcoming is not comfortable. We're comfortable where we always were, and where we always were isn't going to get us to where we want to be in Yahweh's kingdom. We could let our opportunity to make it into the kingdom slip by because we're too wrapped up in ourselves and our own negative thinking, and we just don't want to put forth the effort it will take to get serious, as Pastor said. And it takes effort. All creation is waiting on us to get serious. Do you picture yourself in Yahweh's kingdom? Can you actually see yourself there? Thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to actions and rewards or consequences. If we can't see ourselves making it into the kingdom, then we have a serious problem. Yahweh said we can have the kingdom, but we have to have faith and not fear. Believe what Yahweh has told us. He said we can. If you think you can't, I'm going to agree with you, and I'm so sorry that you're making that choice, because it's a choice. We can think ourselves right out of the promises Yahweh's given us. If you try to tell me it's impossible, though, I won't agree. Yahweh has said it is possible for us to overcome, and Yahweh doesn't lie. In Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events, chapter 3, I have verses 493, 511, 517, and 521 on the slide. In 511, when Yahweh poured out his Spirit Holy upon his people on the day of Pentecost, it was the sealing of those who had the mark of Yahweh upon them and the initiation of the second phase of the promise to Abraham, which Yahweh inspired to be written in Hebrews 8:10. For this covenant is the same covenant that I will renew with the house of Israel. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, minds, and I will be their father, and they will be my people. Yahweh is sealing the very last ones of this stated number at this very time. Those whom Yahweh is sealing with his truth, his name, and his laws are also now proving to him that we love him and that we will be faithful servants to him, not deviating from his will in any way. When our trials are over, they do end. The faithful will stand before him in perfection. Those who stand in perfection will have obeyed Yahweh's commandments and will be chosen to reign with Yahshua for 1,000 years. We will serve under Yahshua Messiah in the new world, where we will teach the same faith that was taught to us. Throughout all eternity, we will be called the restorers of the path to dwell in. It's our choice to make. Yahweh said so in Deuteronomy 30:19. He wants us to choose life. I want to leave you with Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's righteous pleasure to give you the kingdom. See yourself there. It all begins with a thought. It's been an honor to speak for the called out ones of the House of Yahweh, and I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. And Yahweh willing, I'll see you at Pentecost.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. How's everyone doing today? Great. Praise Yahweh in this great Sabbath day. So I'm going to continue on. We know that the topic today is the great feast of Pentecost and that it's a one-day feast, but we can reap sevenfold the benefits. And it's such a very special feast in many ways also. So just like the previous speakers, I think I came upon the same series in the book of Israel when he was talking about that. It was the day of Pentecost, and it was 6-14, 1986. It's the fourth book of Israel. And I know we've heard it a couple times now, so I won't read it to you again. But the point being that he was saying that a lot of times people think that it's just a one-day feast, so they don't need to come because they might have just went to Passover, and then they turn around and they have to go back. But he was saying that isn't the case. And, you know, sometimes even if you're here, you might think also it's a one-day feast, and we have to really examine our minds to make sure that we really understand how important this feast really is. So let's take a look and lay a foundation. And then also he was saying that there was only 120 people, but that's when the gifts of Spirit Holy were given out on the day of Pentecost. So that's pretty exciting, right? Remember, wow. Okay, so let's take a look at point number one. First of all, to keep the Feast of Pentecost, it's a law. So it is, can we have our overhead? It's Positive Law 162, and it says, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, is a Sabbath of rest and a holy convocation. And the reference there for the scripture is Leviticus 23, verse 21. So we see it's a law. It's Positive Law number 162. Okay, and it's a holy convocation. So the word convocation from Google Dictionary, it says, there it is, a large formal assembly of people, the action of calling people together for a large formal assembly. So calling people together, come here to the House of Yahweh in the city of Israel, Abilene, Texas. Of course, and that's where we see that in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, you come here to where Yahweh has placed his name. So if you also look at Deuteronomy 16, it tells us which feast that we are to actually come here to Abel. It says, three times a year, all your males and females, your whole family, shall appear in front of Yahweh your father at the place he will choose, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So it shows there, and if you read in the deception concerning Yahweh's calendar of events and also in what Yahweh's feasts mean to you, it talks about how there's seven feasts in addition to the weekly seventh-day Sabbath, and then which ones you are to come to at Abilene, Texas. So we have that foundation, and we're getting that in our minds. Also, I want to bring to remembrance Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching very fast now. Can you believe that it's Pentecost again? Do you remember, I was thinking about this, that just a year ago on 6/10/2019, do you remember Pentecost when the overseer got up there and kind of casually just told us we're in the last 3.5 years, and then it really sank in that we are in the last 3.5 years, and now it's a year later at Pentecost again, so we're already a year into it, and we are very close to the government of Yahweh taking over all the kingdoms in righteousness to put an end to all of this madness that we see in the world. So the day is approaching. We don't want to praise Yahweh. We don't want to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. So let's also look at the word convocation that's here in Leviticus 23:21 in the Strong's. It's the Hebrew word number, oh, sorry. Can we look at that? It's Hebrew word number 4744, and it means calling the community together, usually for a religious ceremony. This is that word convocation. And it goes to Hebrew word 7121. And some of the definitions, that really stood out to me were to be invited as a guest. Okay. To be invited as a guest from the creator of the universe. He invited you to his house as a guest. Praise Yahweh. And to be appointed, to be called. And then it said to call on the name of Yahweh. They had the Lord there, but to call on the name of Yahweh. And then it actually said it means to proclaim or praise the excellence of Yahweh. And it had Yahweh in there in Strong's. It said, to worship Yahweh or to summon Yahweh by name for help. And I thought that was such an awesome definition. And, you know, Yahweh is at his feast and he's with us and he says, you can call to me and my people will call and I will help them. And he is going to help us. So that's another encouragement of why you want to come to Yahweh's feast. So that's in the word convocation. So we're all very familiar, probably when you think about Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost, everyone thinks about the gifts of Spirit Holy being poured out, and especially when you first come, and even after we've been here for so long, that you're so looking forward to getting those gifts, right? And that really is something to look forward to. But one thing that we really have to remember, though, that yes, we're going to get those gifts, but in order to get those gifts, we have to be in total unity. In one accord, we have the same mind as Yahweh and Yeshua and Israel Hawkins, which is in complete accordance with Yahweh's 613 laws. So that's our thoughts, our words, and our actions. They have to be in accordance with Yahweh's laws. And that's why we study all the time. We get our training, we go to classes, so that we really understand what that means and we apply it to our very lives. And even having the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, it breaks it down a little bit more so that we can really understand how should I respond to the situation. So Yahweh gives us all the tools and tells us how we can accomplish this. So that brings me to my next point. I really want to encourage us, and I think about this a lot too through these days that are getting very trying because we're almost there. We have to make sure that we get all sin out of our lives. So I want us to really embrace our tests when they come and start just being thankful and being glad for them. Whenever something occurs that could cause you to get frustrated, instead just stop and remember what is going on here and be thankful. So as you put the laws into action, each time you do, you are actually changing your DNA at that moment. Remember how he talked before about making the connection? You flip little switches or little different probably DNA, he told us, in your mind that's going to make a new connection in your body to make your DNA like Yahweh's instead of the carnal mind that was placed within us for the purpose of us overcoming it. And so remember, after that, we're changing completely from carnally minded people to people that have the mind of Yahweh, which is pure, it's righteous, which is keeping his laws, it's humble, it's helpful, it's gentle, and it's going to be a heart and a mind that is going to be able to receive the use of the subconscious mind, because we'll have proven that we will never hurt anyone or anything, and we will never go against the laws of Yahweh as taught to us by Israel Hawkins. So we can do it. We just have to remember everything that we've been taught. Now, the overseer, Israel Hawkins, the beloved overseer, he has told us for years to hold on like a bulldog, right? And that's become a big saying in the house of Yahweh, and we really need to hold on like a bulldog to remember that. And we have to remember, we have to hold on to the laws of Yahweh. They told us so many times, you know, enduring doesn't mean just going, "Arr, you know, I'm just going to stay here. This sucks, but, you know, it's really terrible." But no, you actually hold on to the laws and you endure them in righteousness. You are thankful, and then you actually endure by performing the law, and that's how you're going to stay in the house forever, in the house of Yahweh, and be joyful. So let's look at a quote from Overseer Israel Hawkins. It's from the second book of Israel, chapter 19, verse 1983. Does that bring anything to mind? The year when the house of Yahweh was established, yes. Okay, so let's see. He said, "I have told you before, you have to be like a bulldog. You have to be determined to do exactly as Yahweh says and not alter from it. If you do alter, all you are doing is proving that you are unfit for the kingdom. If you prove yourself fit, then you will be there and you will receive the power that Satan threw away." Praise Yahweh. And that power is the authority, and the laws of Yahweh give us the power. And we have the power to choose righteousness. So we have this power and authority from Yahweh by holding on like a bulldog and keeping the laws. So I wanted to, again, you know, Yahweh is so awesome, and, you know, he gives us so much encouragement. So I wanted to just show something too about how Yahweh gives us these little reminders, right? Things, because we need them. We need to look upon these things and have this encouragement. So if you can please play my video, I want to show you a picture, and this is a NASA picture. Okay, do you see that? That's a picture from NASA in the heavens. Do you see the bulldog? Do you remember that picture? This picture, not only is it just a bulldog in the heavens there, but remember this very famous picture in the House of Yahweh that the House of Yahweh showed us about the Horsehead Nebula. And of course, our beloved overseer, and this was one of the most exciting photos ever because it had Yahshua and Israel Hawkins in that photo up there in the heavens for us to look upon. So I always look at this picture. And then they have this one from NASA, which is the wider view, and it shows you the bulldog, to hold on like a bulldog. And there's something else, so if you look to the right, y'all can look at that for yourself. Just Google the picture. So praise Yahweh, let's hold on to the laws of Yahweh like a bulldog and apply them to everything that we do. And we certainly will be ready for this great feast of Pentecost 2020. Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'd all please stand at this time, let's welcome our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Here at the great city of Israel and all around the world, please be seated. I'm going to continue, of course, talking about Pentecost. And we know that in Acts 2, the disciples gathered for the feast of Yahweh and Spirit Holy was poured out upon them. What I want to focus on is Spirit Holy isn't just going to be poured out on people just because they gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. Spirit Holy was poured out upon them because they qualified. They had worked. They had worked to make themselves obedient to the law and everything that Yahweh stands for. One of the things that I want us to think about is the concept of hurry work. Now, hurry work doesn't just apply to the physical work. Hurry work applies to us. Yahweh put within us the ability to work to change who we are, to become like him. That's the hurry work that we also need to focus on. And this work, it's not just 8 hours and then we go home. We can't clock out, go sin for a while and come back. We can't take a vacation from the work of becoming like Yahweh. That work must become a part of who we are. And that brings me to the title of this speech, which is Become Immovable in the faith that was once and for all given to the saints. Become immovable. Now, what does immovable mean? The word immovable means to be steadfast, unyielding, not capable of being moved emotionally. Not capable of being moved emotionally. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 3. Verse 15. And this is just one example of men who were not moved. They were immovable in the faith. Let's go to chapter 15. And they're speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, if you are prepared to fall down and worship the image which I have set up, at the time you hear the sound of the coronet and so on, then all will be well with you. So, but if you refuse to worship, you will be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace in the same hour. And what God is it that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar and said, there is no need for us to answer you cautiously in this matter. For if we are thrown into the burning fiery furnace, our Father, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And may he deliver us from your hands, O King. Now listen carefully to this part. But if he will not, may it also be known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. They had become immovable to where believing in Yahweh became a part of who they are. Their DNA had changed. That trust and belief in Yahweh was as inherent to them as the color of their eyes, the tone of their voice, the way they walked. It was not contingent. Their belief in Yahweh was not contingent upon their rewards from him. And we see the same thing that occurred with Yeshua Messiah, where the night before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed and he said, "Take this cup from me." And then the very next words, "But not your will, not my will, but your will be done." He had become immovable. And we see that with our overseer. He too has become immovable. Can anyone think of anything that would stop Pastor from teaching? That could deter him from speaking? No consequences, no consequence that this world could offer that would stop him from being who Yahweh has called him to be. He is immovable. Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans. Romans 8:35. And before I get there, I also want to talk about the fact that yielding to the gods. No, we don't celebrate Christmas anymore, or Easter, or Thanksgiving, or Halloween. We don't do those things anymore. We don't eat unclean things. We don't go to churches. And yet, if we are not careful, we can still yield to the gods. We can be right here in the great house of Yahweh, in the great city of Israel, yielding to the gods. Because if we don't treat each other with the love and mercy, the kindness, if we don't guard our thoughts, we are yielding to the gods. And what the gods want us to do is to be separated. They want dissension. They do not want unity in Yahweh's house. So we have to be careful, very careful. Now let's look at what Romans chapter 8, verse 35, and the apostle writes, "Who will separate us from the love of Messiah?" Now, that question is there for us to ask ourselves, because we know anything in this great book of Yahweh is written for our benefit in these last days. Who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Is there anything? You see, we have to ask ourselves that question. Because we must be grounded in what we believe. And we have to know if there is anything within us that still has that weakness, that can still yield to the gods. Because if we don't ask ourselves that question, and if we don't find the answer and deal with it, you know who will put it before us, right? Satan. She's waiting. That weakness, whatever that little chink in our armor might be, what will separate us from the love of Messiah? Let's go down to verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor Malachim, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yeshua Messiah." We've got to get to that point, where nothing can separate us, where we have become immovable, unyielding, to keeping the great laws of Yahweh. Let's go ahead and turn over to Acts. We'll go back here to Acts, which is on page 841, Acts chapter 2. "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord, united in mind in one place." They were united because they had become immovable. That's why they were united in one place. They had reached a point in their overcoming where they had overcome, becoming immovable. And that is the example that is set before us for the great feast of Pentecost. We too must become immovable so that nothing can shake us, nothing can separate us from the love of Yahweh, from the keeping of his ways. And that understanding, being immobilized, encompasses so many things. It encompasses the way we talk to one another, the way we treat one another, the way we think about one another, whether or not we're able to forgive without holding a grudge immediately. That's what being immobilized in the faith means. So Pentecost, yes, it is a short feast, only 24 hours. But this is the feast that represents the culmination of Yahweh's plan, the pouring out of Spirit Holy upon those who are immobilized in the faith so that we can fulfill Genesis 1:26 and become in his perfect image, able to do all the things to set this universe straight, to set it right. Let's work towards that goal. We can do it. And at this time, I'd like to go ahead and turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. It's so nice to see all your faces here in the sanctuary. The title of my speech today is We Are the Last Harvest. Yahweh planned from the beginning to harvest his family from mankind. That's a true statement, right? Yes. The 7 weeks from the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Pentecost represents the harvest Yahweh would glean from each of the seven works over a 6,000-year time period. And if I could have my first slide. From the 13th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verse 44, Pastor says, and he set seven works. That's represented, of course, by the 7 weeks that we're about to celebrate here. And the harvest from one work to another. The harvest is ready. In each case where he'd put a work, then he would harvest so many people out of that time period. Great family of Yahweh, we are the last harvest, the final selection that is represented in this last week we are in right now, that's leading up to the Feast of Weeks in 5 days. In Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 34, and I encourage everyone to go back and read this whole chapter sometime this Sabbath. But the great apostle was reminding us that all creation is waiting for the revealing of Yahweh's family, and that those Yahweh has called, he foreordained with the potential to be a part of this family. But we have to fulfill that potential. And Yahweh allows us to by allowing us to be tested and tried, showing that we will overcome sin and remaining loyal to this family. But in that process of overcoming, Satan tries to derail us from being a part of this harvest. In Romans 8, verse 35, which we just heard from our great deaconess, who will separate us from the love of the Messiah? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, that love of the Messiah is the love that he had for Yahweh's laws that overshadowed every facet of his life. And as he walked, so should we walk. So how do we let, I'm just going to cover a few of these in this scripture. How do we let, let's say, tribulation, the tests and the trials that we go through with one another in our families, instead of seeking Yahweh's help through our studies and through counseling, do we seek distractions? Do we seek some form of an escape? Like entertainment, video games, getting on Facebook and Snapchat, wasting time, and some new thing I heard called TikTok or something like that? You know, do we seek people of the world, the friendships of the world? And something I've heard someone say many years ago who is not here anymore, they go through the tests and trials, it's everybody else's fault but theirs. And I need to take a vacation. I need a break. I need to just get away. And they go and they get away to be with godly, not worldly, godly people and people who have walked out on Yahweh? Or will we allow the distress? Due to the tests and trials, do we let our emotions rule over us instead of Yahweh's laws? Do we get anxious and worry about things that aren't in our control? Do we harbor fear of loss? We're a little reluctant to let go and separate from people in whatever relationship we have with them who are content to live according to the lust of the flesh, according to the ways of this world. That causes a lot of emotional distress. Or how about persecution? Are we afraid of losing our jobs? Have we been threatened that we'll lose our jobs if we come to this feast? We want to keep the feast, but we're afraid that if I don't have this job, how am I going to pay this or that off? Or how about danger? We see all the things that are taking place in this world with this first plague that is almost over. Do we have fear, and that causes us to have doubts and unbelief in Yahweh's prophecies? Do we lose trust in Yahweh and the fact that he promised that he would protect those who are his? Are we not believing without seeing, but not preparing to flee to the mountain? So we need to ask ourselves and examine, and me too, because I've gone through much of this. Who or what is it that will hold us back from the love and loyalty that those who would be harvested must have to be a part of this kingdom? Otherwise, we're going to be like chaff that's blown away in the nuclear wind that's soon to come. Now, in preparing this speech, I was listening to a sermon Pastor gave on 4/4/1996. It was the first day of a Feast of Passover. Pastor says, we should seek for those things Yahweh has promised us, but somehow Satan gets our priorities off. And through the frustrations, through the day-to-day trials and day-to-day drudgery, she gets us down and she starts pulling our minds away from the true goals Yahweh brought us to in the first place. And so Pastor goes into Luke 9:57, where Yeshua is telling some people, come follow me. And he said that word follow means join me in the work. But they were giving a bunch of excuses like we see in Romans 8:35. And Pastor continues saying, and another said, I will follow you. I will work for you and bring forth this kingdom. I will be your slave. I will be your disciple, which every one of us who's been baptized and had our ear old, we made that vow. But first, let me go and say farewell to my family, people who belong to the world, who belong to Satan. And Yeshua said, no woman who puts her hand to the plow, puts her hand to this work, and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Yeshua will never change his mind, sisters. In fact, Yahweh shows there will only be one calling forever. Don't let Satan drag you out, sisters. Pastor ends there. And if I could get my second slide. It's from the 13th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verse 44. And he set seven works. That's represented, of course, the fourth book of Israel, the reverence of Yahweh, number 20, verse 22 through 23 and 25. He says, verse 45, again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, who, when she had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that she had and brought it, all she had. She sold everything she had to buy this one pearl. Now, this simply means, and we've got to get this part, this simply means that unless we are willing to give up everything, every person, everybody to get this one single pearl, we're not fit to have that pearl. That's what Yeshua said over and over throughout the Holy Scriptures. And this is just one excerpt of many that Pastor has reminded us that we have to be willing to give up anything for this kingdom. And these are the ones who won't let anything or anyone separate them from this kingdom. Now, if we let our love fade, it's like saying that everything that the apostles, all the righteous men and women of old, and Yeshua Messiah went through, all the tests, the trials, because they had them too, the suffering, the torture, and ultimately the death, that they went through so that they could be harvested means absolutely nothing to us. Because remember, without us, they're not going to receive the promises that they qualified for. And in Romans 8, 38 through 39, which we heard previously, remember, Shaul was convinced that nothing would separate us from the love of Yeshua or from the love of Yahweh. And Yeshua promised that we will make it. Matthew 16:18, we will make it. We have to prove that nothing will separate us so that we can receive the gifts to restore them to life, so that they can receive the reward. That's a big weight. Remember in Hebrews 11:39 through 40, they without us will not make it. They without us will not make it. We have to think about that every single day from now to Pentecost. And if I could have my final slide in closing. Great sisters, one of our great sisters had put this up on WhatsApp for any one of you who's on WhatsApp. And I have it on my wall because it's just a great reminder when I wake up first thing in the morning to remember what we're here for. But great sisters, as we see the great feast of Pentecost approaching, let's all work together, seriously work together, to urge each other on, to hold on to the love that we've built and this loyalty to this kingdom, so that we can be ready to receive these great gifts that Yahweh said he would pour upon only those who love this kingdom more than all else. And so that we can be accounted worthy to be harvested by the seventh and last work of Yahweh, which is soon to be finished. And with that, if y'all please stand. Yahweh bless everyone. And I'll turn the services over to the next teacher. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. My title today is Clean It Up. Clean It Up. My first feast in the house of Yahweh was a Pentecost. That was in 1996. That's 24 years ago. Praise Yahweh. And I know you all have your first dates too. Don't ever forget that first love, because you always can reflect back to it and know how special these anniversaries are. I'm looking forward to my anniversary. And I just want to begin by saying that, yes, this is a very special one-day feast, but there are so many benefits. But I want to ask you a question. What are millions of people doing on 531 that the House of Yahweh is not doing? Keeping their Feast of Pentecost, because they always keep it on a Sunday, their Roman Sunday. So we are very blessed, a small group of people from around the world that have reestablished Yahweh's laws in these last days and are keeping the correct date at the correct time at the correct place. Praise Yahweh. That is a great blessing. I also want to go in this book here. I know somebody else brought it up, but Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events goes through all those details of how they chose their dates and how the House of Yahweh proves through Yahweh's laws what are the correct dates. Very, very important resource. But the greatest blessing that we know we have of keeping this great feast of Pentecost is that we're under the shadow of Yahweh's protection, right? That marks us as belonging to Yahweh. We are sanctified by Yahweh. All these wonderful blessings that come from that. But did you know that counting the Omer to Pentecost tests your character? How many of you felt your character tested severely in the last almost 50 days? I see lots of hands going up. Because we're showing Yahweh what we're really made of, what our true grit is. We heard a lot about that today in our speeches previous. But if I can have my first slide, I want to point out to you that the more we get along with others, be our families, our coworkers, our authorities, doesn't matter who it is, the more we prove our position with Yahweh. The more we get along with others, the more we prove our position with Yahweh. There's no dissension. There's no separation. This is that unity that Yahweh is calling us to. And every time the other person walks away from an interaction with us, stop and ask yourself, what did they just conclude? Will that help them get into the kingdom of Yahweh? Did I esteem them better than me? Did I build them up? If not, then go back and clean it up. Clean it up. Today, as one sister said, is a day we can do this. We can clean each day up as it comes. Take that opportunity. Simply say, I didn't mean to yell at you. I didn't mean to frustrate you. It's not you. It's me. I'm the one that just lost my self-control. And instead, we like to have that tendency to put it off on the other person. That person did this. That person did that. They're the ones, they didn't follow my rules, they didn't follow my regulations. I forgot to go in my closet. I liked that. That was a great remembrance from all of us, you know. I'm not going to tell you about my closet. I'm just going to go into my own closet. But if I've taken it out on you, that means I need to go clean it up, right? So at what cost must you have the other person do exactly what you want them to do? Yahweh doesn't force us. He doesn't force his laws down our throat. When we are given an instruction, we try to cram it down a child's throat or cram it down a worker's or whoever it is, they're not going to receive it well. They are not going to receive it well. So how can we, as I like to say, win the will of the other person? Try to go down and lift that other person up. Help that other person succeed at what you're wanting them to do. Not to be down on them, but to say, here, let me help you. I can show you. Sometimes it's merely a part of education. That's all we need is a little more education. So as we the ones giving the instruction, if they didn't get it, whose fault really is it? It's really ours, right? Can we consider, I know this came up today as well, what Yahweh thinks of our actions? Our actions, not theirs, our actions. How did I just handle that? Did I fly off the handle? Did I get down on their case because they didn't do it exactly as I asked them to do it? Then go clean it up. Fix it. Fix it quick. Don't waste any time. Get back up there and go fix it. And that takes a lot of a positive character trait called humility. Humility. Yahweh's people should be clothed in humility, clothed in it on a daily basis in every interaction. No matter who the person is, no matter what the situation is, if one person wears humility, the other person's likely going to succumb to it as well and say, wow, this is contagious. I'll take a little humility too. You were humble, I'll be humble too. And it can really help a situation. So it really isn't about what the other person is doing or saying to me. Yahweh is looking to see how I, yes, me, myself, am handling it. What am I doing? We've been shown a lot of ways that we really need to put that effort into it, take this seriously, but there's always room for improvement. Always room for improvement. I want to bring up the respect unit. This is chapter 2. It's respect for myself. And believe it or not, if I can have my next slide, it's in the enrichment activity. And this is entitled, There's Always Room for Improvement. And there are 6 key points that you can find here. And I want to put a 6-day challenge to everyone here. Let's see what we can do to do this evaluation. So the number 1 point is develop a self-improvement plan. Write some ways you would like to improve yourself. Do you need more humility? Do you need to be more patient? Can you not interrupt people when they're speaking to you? Whatever it might be, it could be in your grooming, it could be your health, it could be your mannerisms, your interactions with others, even your value system. We can reevaluate our value system over and over again. How's our time management? There's so many things you could put there. Point number 2. Rate your ideas according to their importance. Using the list above, write down your ideas in priority by order of importance, the areas you want to work on. Focus on what is important and only work on 1 or 2 at a time. So I want you all to just pick one. Let's all just pick one. You can have yours. I'll have mine. Everybody has their own. And let's work on this for the next 6 days. If I have a tendency to interrupt, if I feel impatient, if I'm looking at my phone when someone's trying to talk to me, whatever it might be, pick what is yours, okay? And then the number 3 point is encourage yourself and others to succeed in life. Succeed in our walk with Yahweh, aka make it into the kingdom of Yahweh. Become part of the 144,000 priesthood, the ones that love the performing of Yahweh's laws. That's what it's all about. We can encourage ourselves. We can encourage others to do the same. It's very important. You know, when life hands you lemons, you have to learn to make lemonade. That's right. This is how positive people deal with setbacks and disappointments in life. Challenges are what make life interesting, and overcoming them is what makes life meaningful. I like that quote. That was a nice one. When these tests and trials and tribulations occur, You can endure difficult times when you learn to be encouraging, encouraging to others. That is the key. If we can focus on encouraging, try to win the will of the other person, try to think, well, what are they going through? What was their day like? You know, what could make them want to act the way they're acting? Sometimes with children, they just are hungry or they're tired. They can't always express themselves very well. But if you can find out, well, I didn't sleep last night, or I'm really hungry, or that food didn't settle with me, or whatever it could be, there's so many different things there. But encourage one another. Take the time to listen. Active listening skills are in high demand. It's something that I think we all fall short in, especially with our little electronic devices, because they can be very, very distracting. Sometimes to say, it's not a great time, can you give me just a minute? Now I'll listen to you. Okay, now I can give you my full attention, and let's talk about this. And allow the other person to give their expression of what they're feeling, what they're going through. Not to solve all the problems right away, but to just honestly listen to them. That's very, very important. Okay, the next one, develop your sense of humor. Oh, this is a tough one for me. I don't consider myself a funny person. As a matter of fact, I was Googling, how do you make people laugh and have humor when you're not a humorous person? I thought, oh, look at me up here. I can't believe I'm doing this. So laughter reveals, it relieves stress and helps you keep what is occurring in your life in perspective. I like to laugh. I really do. But I just don't always know how to make people laugh. So I'll give you one. Are you ready for this? The only chip I want in my body is one with guacamole. Oh, yay, I got a few laughs. All right. But this is very important, and it helps us to let go of things in our lives. You know, these are stressful days. They're very stressful days. We're in the end times. We've endured and made it to the end times. Now we have to make it through the end times. Okay, so we really have to work on keeping things light. Don't take it all so heavy. Lighten your load a little bit and just be funny for a moment. It's okay to let your guard down and do that. I did it up here. Look at that. That was a big step for me. Okay. Number five, recognize and reach out to the needs of others. This is Yahweh's way. Recognize first. You've got to look for those needs. And then reach out. You know, I love the picture in the leadership. The leader reaches down to pull others up. Okay, so that's what we want to do. And then when you care about the needs of others, you're building character traits such as compassion and consideration. So how can we be more helpful to one another? And number six, learn to value and appreciate yourself. Yourself. Okay, when you can do that, we all have strengths. We all have strengths. We've got to know our strengths, admit them. And it's important to know those areas, and the ones that we're working on, we can make them our strengths. We can actually make them a strength. That's our goal. So I want to use this next final words here to give you some encouraging words from the great apostle Shaul. Can I have slide number three, please? And this is out of 2 Timaeus 3, 10 through 12, pages 938 and 939. Talking about all who live righteously, that's all of us, we're suffering persecution, trials, tests, tribulation. Verse 10, but from me, or from Yisrael Abel Hawkins, you have closely followed the teaching, the conduct, the purpose, the intention, the faith, the long-suffering, the love, the patience, the perseverance, the persecutions and the afflictions which came from me in these last days. He went through a lot in his time period, and now we're going through it. He endured. Out of them all, Yahweh delivered me. Yahweh delivers all of us. Yes, and all who will live righteously as Yahshua Messiah will suffer persecution, will be tested and tried in order to build Yahweh's character. So in conclusion, the more we get along with others, the more we prove our position with Yahweh. Let's come into that unity by the great feast of Pentecost and evaluate how well we get along with others. Take that 6-day challenge and go back and clean it up, fix it. It's okay. With this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, saints of Yahweh, please be seated. Wow, wow, wow. We have had such awesome speeches today in unity, right? And so I'm going to just review a little bit, okay? In the third book of Israel, chapter 8, verse 106, now this might sound familiar. I know that you have thought before, well, that Pentecost is just one day. This is where we fall into a trap. One thinks it's just one day. Why should I walk 400 miles to get to that place and have to start back the next day? Or 500 miles, or 1,000 miles, or 2 days, or 3 days, or more. However long you have to travel to get here, it's still only going to be one day that you stay, right? But have you ever considered how many things Yahweh did in one day? Let's look at that for a second. Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Yahweh said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Yahweh saw the light that it was beneficial, and Yahweh divided between the light and between the darkness. And Yahweh called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and then the morning were the first day. He did that in one day, right? Now let's look at some other things that Yahweh did in one day. Okay, if we can see the first picture. There's day two, right? Look at that. He made the atmosphere, he made the heavens, he made the earth. Beautiful, right? Let's look at some more. Here's some more of his creation. All these things here, one day. Here's another day of creation. A lot of things. And now this is a very small amount, right? This is just a few things Yahweh created in that one day. But, sisters, he did it. He did it in one day. How did he do that? Did you ever think about it? We know because our overseer has told us many, many times. He had a plan. He had a plan in Yochanan chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, right? And that plan was perfect. And the reason it was perfect is because he thought it all out. Yes, he did amazing things in those few short days, right? 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he took a break. He said, okay, I'm done with this part. But it took a lot of planning. In the first book of Israel, chapter 15, verse 61, he said, I've told you before that Yahweh had the greatest laboratory. Before, brethren, Yahweh ever formed man in 7 days, he had it all figured out, exactly how to do it, and how to bring together every nook and cranny without leaving the I's undotted and the T's crossed. He put that man together just like the scriptures say. In another sermon, the pastor told us that Yahweh, you know, in his laboratory, he did experiments, and he does them still. And he does these so that he can perfect it. So he knows when he goes to create it, it's perfect the way he made it, right? In the chapter 1 of Genesis, it says, everything that he did, he said it was right, which means perfect. He did it perfectly. So there's nothing that Yahweh does that isn't important, okay? Everything he's thought out, everything is important. And sometimes we fall short because we don't understand the significance of what Yahweh has created. As Yushra Hawkins, though, has told us in the first quote that I read and was read several times today, some might consider Pentecost not very important, but Yahweh placed great importance on this one day. In the fourth book of Israel, this is from the Lion and Betrayal series that was recommended to us also in chapter 5, verse 9. It says, do you realize, and we've heard this one a few times today, but I want to read it again. There were 7,000 people who followed Yahshua. And at another time, there were 5,000, right? There were only 120 people who received Spirit Holy here, though. There were only 120 of them out of all the thousands. Out of thousands who followed Yahshua. When did they receive Spirit Holy? On that day, that one day of Pentecost, right? That is when we received it on the feast. that people think is the least, considered the least. So we know Yahweh planned all these things, everything he created before he created it. And really, we can see that in the sixth book of Israel, chapter 36, verse 60, where Pastor was talking about this beforehand. He used the word afore, and he spelled it out, A-F-O-R-E. So afore man, he created a garden. He planted a garden, and he planted it here on earth. Aforesaid, or afore that, there was a thought and reasoning. The thought was, this is exactly what I need to straighten out and perfect the universe. He needed us, sisters. He needed his house. He needed the greatest teacher we have today, Israel Hawkins, right? He needed our high priest, Yeshua. He needed all this to perfect it, to everything he made. He knew if everything played out the way he planned, and we know it will, that perfection will come to mankind and to this earth and to the universe. So just like the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program teaches us in the self-control unit, it started with a thought, right, in Yahweh's mind. And that's a pattern, sisters, that he wants for us. He wants us to start every day with the proper thoughts, to guide our lives with the proper thoughts, to be trained to use proper thinking. There is a lot of physical preparations that go in to preparing for the great Feast of Pentecost, even though it's only one day. And we can see it. It's going on right now in Yahweh's house. And it's all led by our great teacher, Yisro Hawkins. But there's something else that he's encouraged us very strongly, and we've heard a lot about today, that we as individuals need to do. We need to prepare spiritually for this one day. And in the fourth book of Israel, also the Lion in Betrayal series, the same chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, Pastor said, I was thinking we could get to the point at this Pentecost where Yahweh would once again pour these gifts out. We still have a few hours to do it if everyone would get out bitterness, hatred, envy, jealousy, and all the junk that Satan wants to cram in your minds. We have to get division out of this body and come to unity among ourselves and with Yahweh. We could still do it yet before sundown this evening. We could still have these gifts of Spirit Holy poured out upon us as these people did right here. Yes, so see how he's encouraging us and he's showing us, but we have to get certain things out of our lives. I would encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 4 today or throughout this week, really, because it talks about how Yahweh is one and how he set up his house to be a unit, a body. And when each member is in that body working and doing its part and standing in their place, that body is so perfectly running smooth. You know, have you ever felt a day where you're just feeling awesome? And, you know, your body, you're just in tune with yourself and things are working really great, right? And your day just, everything goes great in that day. That is what Yahweh has said our Pentecost can be like. And that's what he said the kingdom to be like. So we can experience it. We have to prepare for it. In the fourth book of Israel, this is also Lying in Betrayal series, but it's number 4. In verse 36, Pastor said, I can't read your minds. I don't have the power of Yeshua, so I can't point this sin out to you. All I can tell you is that you're going to have to work on yourself, okay? I'm pointing the finger at myself. If you find it difficult being around your own brothers and sisters, associating with them and living as a family with them, then you need to work on this. And fast and pray, as David said, before Pentecost. These are the things that we need to be doing, is really examining, are we getting along with one another? Are we putting our best foot forward and treating others the way we desire them to treat us? Even if we don't get treated that way, it doesn't matter, because you know what? Everyone is working on themselves right now. I guarantee you, if you are in the house of Yahweh, I know you are working on yourselves, because this is where we're headed. We're headed to perfection. In the first book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 36, Pastor said, and here's a final thought we should have on how to get ready. We do not have it. Yahweh showed through Yeshua that we would receive it one day, because Yeshua certainly had it. We will, I'm hoping, by Pentecost, if everyone will concentrate on righteousness. Even the children
Children, are you listening? And the young men and women. The young men and women. Yahweh says even our young men and women will receive power. Authority, right? We've heard that today. We know that's what our great teacher told us about last Sabbath, this authority. Before this thing is over, they're going to receive a certain amount of power that will actually be seen and heard from others. This is our young people. And you can too, but you can't if you yield to unrighteousness around you. It won't mix. The power won't mix with it. The microorganisms won't listen to you. They have to trust you, remember. No, Yahweh's way, it's not a mixture. We have to set aside all the distractions, and there are many in this world today, right? There are many all around us. But we have to put them aside and put our 100% effort into overcoming, which means focusing on our studies, focusing on our prayers, and focusing on our relationship with our Creator, who created us, who had us in his mind. Before he even put anything on this earth, before the earth was even here, he thought about us, sisters. We've got to put our thoughts on him now. And he wants to give us power unlimited. And we know this power is not for our benefit, even though we will benefit from it, but it is not for us. No, it's authority to serve, to cause joy in all life. But we're only going to get it when we overcome and come into unity with the last day's work, which is led by Yeshua Hawkins, who is in unity with our high priest Yeshua. Now in the third book of Israel, chapter 13, verse 64, it says, you won't find this power in the churches. You won't find it anywhere in the world except this house right here in Abilene, Texas. Do you know why? It's Yahweh's plan. Remember the plan? He planned it from the beginning. We're it. We're the ones who are going to receive the power, and we're the ones who it's going to be prepared for. Don't you feel insignificant when he says these kind of things? It makes the hair stand up on my arms. You know, it's amazing what Yahweh, how much he loves his people and how much he loves creation and how much he wants this family. You have to believe you're a part of it here. In the fifth book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 113, he says, we ask you, Father, to lead them back here for Pentecost and help everyone to continue the count for Pentecost and look forward to receiving that great feast as a friend. Like you tell us to in your holy word, that we can receive that. Also, Father, we're praying for the great gifts that you have in store for us that come with the great amounts of power that you show that will help us in doing the work in these last days. We're praying for those gifts, Father, for the work only, right? And for the furthering of your work to the world. Sisters, Yahweh's great plan will work. It's guidance set in law. Let's rejoice in agreement with Yahweh on the day of Pentecost, knowing how much planning Yahweh put into this one day. And into us, the priestly family, he's finishing right now. Let's get ready. A lot can occur in one day, but we need to be prepared in order to receive the benefit. And now, with great joy, I will turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom again, great saints of Yahweh. Please sit. Praise Yahweh. I would like to entitle my portion this evening, half afternoon, if Yahweh had not left us a very small remnant. If Yahweh had not left us a very small remnant. And we find that in Isaiah 1:9, and it's referenced in Romans 9:29, referring to the small remnant as a seed. So I can also say, if Yahweh had not left us a seed. Would that make sense? Why would you think Yahweh the power would see it necessary in these last days to have a small remnant? because he knew that with the things in our minds, the way we were made, the influences by the adversary, we would a lot of times give in. Yes, there is a plan to get rid of mankind. But it is the fact that what some people call it a conspiracy, things about fancy things with Illuminati and all shifting kind of people. No, it is for true. There is a plan to get rid of mankind. If you go back to Genesis when Yahweh created mankind, Yahweh says, I am going to give mankind the authority. Great ones and told us last Sabbath it meant increase. Do you remember that? He said increase. Yahweh wants to give mankind the authority. So the adversary says, well, no, it was given to me first, so I'll keep it. But you see, us, mankind, when our lust, we are drawn away by our lust. And when our lust is enticed, then it becomes a sin. That's in Yahakob, chapter 1, about 13, 14. With all those things going, it is difficult sometimes for mankind to always make the right choice and be perfect. Another tool, one of the tools that the adversary uses is confusion. I heard it mentioned last Sabbath too. Confusion. So we can choose our confusion. Religion created, as I always say, created to bring forth confusion, to conquer and divide. Divide and conquer. Because when you have them in small groups, it's easy to destroy them. Do you see? Dividing and conquering mankind. So let's say, for example, religion, yes, created 37 million churches. How so? Happy Mother's Day. I don't do Mother's Day. Okay, then greetings. Instant animosity. Do you say it? Instant. But do you do Father's Day? No. Do you do Boys' Day, Brothers' Day, Sisters' Day? Do you do any of this? Baby Day? No. Instant animosity. Greetings. That gives us church number one. What religion are you? Methodist? Okay. All Methodists who keep only Mother's Day, church one. 37 million churches. All Methodists who keep only Father's Day but not Brother's Day, church too. Do you see how to get the 37 million churches? What religion are you? Adventist? Okay. All Adventists who keep Brother's Day but not so-and-so day, church, next church. Do you see it? Confusion to divide and conquer. Let's think about races. How many times those of us who came from the red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. You remember that? And you know who's teaching it? The church. They too are breeding the confusion to divide mankind. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And you sing it for so long as a little person in church. Breeding the confusion. Do you see it, Great House? One of the things that really let me think, Yahweh had to leave a seed, a small reward, a small remnant, a seed, is there was an article from Reverend Ralph Drollinger, D-R-O-L-L-I-N-G-E-R, Reverend Ralph. He said, Reverend Ralph Drollinger, D-R-O-L-L-I-N-G-R. He said, you know, the coronavirus is because of God's wrath. God has many wraths, and one of the wraths is why we have the coronavirus. So When members, he said, the reason for that wrath of God on the coronavirus is because of LGBT. Is that it? Yes? I don't have to say everything. The children, you can explain to them afterwards. He said environmentalists and also LGBT and fluid. You know there's one called fluid in that category? Uh-huh. Fluid. So when the elites and the high ones on the list of LG so-and-so-and-so addressed him on it, why is he saying the coronavirus is because of them and God's wrath? He changed his tongue. He said, well, I don't really, really think it's you all. Now, what I want to say to leaders, or like when they make those decisions, is they have closed the door to all our next generation of people who are panting for, who are looking for moral strength and moral fortitude. They have closed the door for them. Do you see it, Great House? Because if they see our religious people stepping back, well, of course, he now being a Christian, but the mixture of righteousness and evil, a speck of righteousness. And they're so quickly to jump back. Now, that reminds me of an article I saw. Can we show the picture, please? You read just the headlines. It says, a boys' camp to redefine gender. So that's a little boy here. You see, he has his purse. That's a little boy. So Reverend Ralph, if we already have lots of little girls, because Yahweh said it is written, be fruitful and multiply, and then all of little boys are going to think they are little girls, then what have we become? Great House, do you see why Yahweh thought it necessary to leave a seed? Do you see why Yahweh thought it or deemed it necessary to leave a small remnant? Yahweh is the supreme head, the creator of all, the great I am. He's the ruler of all that exists. He knows exactly where mankind is going to end. Another strong reason why I think Yahweh is saying he must have a remnant left is when we talk about the birth certificates. I told one of the children, if you look at a birth certificate now, or one of the children gave it to me, it says male, female, other. So us mankind, we think it necessary to look up to Yahweh, the power, our creator, and say to him, Father, or Yahweh, mankind, he's made a mistake. So now the birth certificates will say male, female, other. Why Yahweh found it necessary to leave a small remnant. Can we have the video clip, please?
Are you aware of any virus from any animal other than simian or bovine that is in any vaccine?
Yes, there's a pig virus.
Do any vaccines contain gelatin from pigs?
Yes.
Do any vaccines on the childhood vaccine schedule contain human albumin?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. What is human albumin?
Human albumin is part of human serum. It's part of the blood that is liquid.
What are MRC5 cells?
They are human fibroblast cell strain. They were created by taking fetal tissue and from a particular fetus that was aborted by maternal choice, and the cells, the so-called fibroblast cells, were cultivated.
This study involved 74 fetuses.
Yeah, 76.
76.
Mm-hmm.
And these fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Well, I didn't personally harvest any. but a whole range of tissues were harvested by co-workers.
Okay. And these pieces were then cut up into little pieces, right?
Yes.
And they were cultured?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland that were chopped up into pieces to,
mm-hmm.
Okay, included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay, included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
The leaders of the world, the ones mankind trust into, what did we use to make the vaccines? And you know, the director of the National Institute of Health, his name is the Reverend Dr. Francis Collins, he's saying, we're going to get a vaccine ready soon. And one of the hard things is the thousands and thousands of people that will have to test it on before we can get it nice and working for 2021. The thousands of people it has to be yet tested on. And what is the result? We don't know, he said, that what will come of the vaccine. That will be for the coronavirus. Now, let's take it to the book of Yahweh, please. If Yahweh worked with his seed in the past, do you think he's going to work with his seed today? He must work with his seed today. Do you remember Yosef? Let's look at Yosef, Genesis 35, 45. When Yosef brothers, they said, don't kill him. Let's just sell him. You remember that? Yes, Genesis 35, 45. And Yosef, they sold him, and you know how Yosef became the lead of everything in Egypt. And then Yosef's brothers came and realized what was going on. And Yosef's brothers said to him, don't feel bad. It was Yahweh, our father, who sent me in front of you to get things ready for us, for Benjamin and the father to come. So if Yahweh is the power and he worked with the seed in the past, will he work again with us the last day's work? Yes, he must. It is his promises, and Yahweh promised that he would. And we heard the speakers before me talking about it. And what's about, do you remember Abraham? When Abraham, that's in, I think in Genesis 24, Abraham said to his servant, go and get me a wife for my son Isaac. Go and get me a wife for him, but don't get her here. Go down to my kin's and get a wife. And the man was praying, and as soon as he finished praying, what occurred? There came a young woman by the well, and he said, this is the woman we want for the wife, for Isaac's wife. So Yahweh, well, it was Malachim, ministering spirits, but the prayers were answered in the days of old and will still be today. We have to trust Yahweh, and we have to believe in Yahweh. And one more example that keeps coming to my mind is Samson. You remember Samson in Judges 14, 16. Samson, you remember how they cut his hair, and the great one sent Israel, he explained to us how the hair gave him strength. Do you remember that? But Samson now, you could say FBI cut his hair, whatever way you want to say it. And but the day they took him and they said to make a mock of him, take him from the dungeon and let's get him where all the people are, and we're going to have a nice little skit and laugh at him. And Samson said to the man, the slave who brought him up, he said, just put me by two pillars. Children, you remember what occurred? Children, put me by two pillars. And he prayed to Yahweh, the power who worked in the days of old and who will work today. Put me by two pillars. And when he touched the pillars, he prayed to Yahweh. And what occurred? The pillar fell down and everybody died. You remember the stories, grandchildren? We need to read those things to our children so they know and they understand who Yahweh is to us. Okay? So praise Yahweh. So let us remember the day of Pentecost is coming, and we want to get ready, understand who Yahweh the power is in our lives. And then, well, did Yeshua say, "And for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. And just for some more, to get ready for the great feast of Pentecost, we turn it over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Thank you.